Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you've had a great weekend. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, December 2nd. Coming up today, we'll hear from the boss of a charity shop in Strood that's been forced to close after being handed a backdated rent bill worth more than £20,000. We'll also hear from a Maidstone man who's getting ready to row across the Atlantic. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a housing developer is attempting to pull out of contributing more than £50 billion worth of new infrastructure projects in Ashford. Hodson Developments want to scrap or delay dozens of agreed commitments, including turning part of the A28 into a dual carriageway. Leanne has got more details for the Kent Online podcast. She's with me now. First of all, Leanne, can you tell me about the agreement Hodson signed in 2017 and what they said they'd contribute to as part of the development?
So first of all, this is a very complicated issue. So in 2017, when Hodson was given permission to build its sections of homes in Chilmington Green, it signed a legally binding agreement with Kent County Council and Ashford Borough Council, saying if it gets permission to build these homes, it will contribute millions towards things such as road improvements, schools and community projects, to name a few. So the biggest part of this agreement was the money Hodson was supposed to put towards the major road improvement scheme to dual the A28 in Chart Road between Matalan and the Tank roundabouts. It's a scheme that's been on the cards for such a long time because of how notoriously congested the road gets. It will only get worse with the additional cars that the new homes will bring, so Hodson agreed to pay for the upgrades if it could build the homes, and work was supposed to start in 2018.
And why are they now asking to amend the agreement?
So Hodson says the cost and burden of the Section 106 contributions are undermining the viability of the development. So in terms of the A28 specifically, Hodson says it's simply too expensive now. Initially, the improvements were supposed to cost around £26.2 million, but due to inflation and the fact that there has been constant delays in getting it done, it is now estimated to cost around £32.7 million. Hodson says it has ceased to be possible in the financial markets to obtain the money needed to pay for this scheme, and it also described it as prohibitively expensive and self-defeating. But despite all this, Hodson does insist that none of the changes relate to it wanting to enhance its profit margins.
Now, what would it mean for the A28 Chart Road?
So the dualling of the A28 was always seen as an integral part of the Chilmington Green development. Work was supposed to start in 2018 when so many trees were chopped down across the stretch in preparation for the work starting. But Kent County Council have said if the planning inspector does agree to let Hodson remove its funding for this scheme, then it simply won't happen and the A28 won't become a dual carriageway. It will stay as it is.
What other parts of the development are at risk?
So in total, there are 33 areas of commitment that Hodson wants to remove or vary slightly. It is also looking to axe £14.9 million in the amount it puts forward towards education provisions linked to the development, so primary schools and secondary schools. It was due to contribute £4.5 million towards building a fourth primary school, but now Hodson says it wants to pull this funding entirely as it feels a fourth primary school isn't needed. It says three is enough. While it will still contribute £13.5 million to Chilmington Green Secondary School, Hodson also wants to pull money from the second phase of that, so it wants to save itself £8.95 million by not contributing towards the second phase of the secondary school, which is already half built. In terms of adult learning provisions, it wants to cut £213,000 from its obligations. The reason for this is because it says there are already ample provisions locally, and the list goes on and on, and it totals to at least £50 million that it wants to pull from this Section 106 agreement.
What are the next steps?
The planning inspector will now assess whether to agree to the developer's proposals, and the appeal will be determined following a public inquiry. Residents are invited to have their say in this inquiry, but all comments must be submitted by the 18th of December. Once all these comments are in, a decision will then be made, and the planning inspector will publish this decision online.
Thanks, Leanne.
Kent Online News.
A banned driver from Ramsgate who got behind the wheel just a month after being disqualified has avoided being sent to prison. A court heard Ian Giles suffered seizures and has problems gripping, which could have led to horrendous consequences. The 60-year-old from Chilton Lane was given a suspended sentence and banned for another 3 years. A court heard how a Gravesend man jumped over a fence fence before attacking his neighbour. Damien Forgey left his victim with fractures when it happened in April. The 36-year-old from Valley Lane in Mepham admitted assault and will be sentenced at Crown Court. A fire's broken out in the bathroom of a house in Tunbridge Wells. It's thought to have started in a fuse box at a property on Redland Avenue. Two fire engines were sent at around 10 last night. Crews say no one was injured. More people are coming forward with allegations about inappropriate behaviour by Greg Wallace. Speaking anonymously, a former MasterChef contestant says he considered quitting the show because of the toxic environment. The presenter, who's from Biddenden, caused further anger by saying the complaints have come from a handful of middle-class women of a certain age. He's taken to social media.
Now, I've been doing MasterChef for 20 years. Amateur, celebrity and professional MasterChef. And I think in that time, I have worked with over 4,000 contestants of all different ages, all different backgrounds, all walks of life. And apparently now, I'm reading in the paper, there's been 13 complaints. Now, in the newspaper, I can see the complaints coming from a handful of middle class women of a certain age, just from Celebrity MasterChef. This isn't right. In 20 years, over 20 years of television, can you imagine how many women, female contestants on MasterChef, have made sexual remarks or sexual innuendo? Can you imagine? Look, this is important to me. 20 years of doing Celebrity MasterChef, amateur, professional, Eat Well for Less, inside the factory. Do you know how many staff, all different sorts of staff, you imagine the people I've worked with, do you know how many staff complained about me in that time? Eat Well for Less, inside the factory, three lots of MasterChef, how many staff made a complaint about me? Absolutely none. Zero. Seriously.
Kent Online News.
Home Secretary Yvette Cooper will update MPs later on a deal done with Iraq to tackle people smuggling gangs. Figures show more than 20,000 asylum seekers have crossed the channel in small boats since Labor came to power. This week, the government will also set milestones for achieving manifesto promises. John McTernan is a former party advisor.
Maybe this should have been done faster with an earlier budget and an earlier launch of the missions. But it basically means the government is set up for the next 4 years in public service delivery.
Volunteers at a community shop in Stroud have been left in tears after being forced to close their doors after a backdated rent hike. Despite being able to pay the increased rent, Stroud Community Shop was told by their landlord they'd have to foot a remaining £20,000 in just a matter of weeks. Steve Long took over the shop in 2018.
Despite having paid our rent for 5 years on time, every time, single part time, we found ourselves in £25,000 worth of debt. And we've been negotiating with the landlord since January this year to find a way out of that and pay it back as best we can. But last week we received a statutory demand from the landlord demanding that the outstanding £20,000 be paid by next week. And obviously we couldn't do that, so we have no option but to be insolvent. And the law's very clear on that point, that you have to kind of close up. You can't carry on trading.
The Kent Online podcast also spoke to Tim Davey. He has autism and used to work as a volunteer at the shop.
This store has meant a lot to me. It's meant, you know, I've met people. And, plus, well, it's difficult being autistic, but it really has helped. I mean, I was really scared when I came here, but I used to work at Cancer Research in Gillingham. So I have done work before, but I was really scared. You know, like everyone is when they start a new job. But this place has really benefited people which are trying to find their way, are trying to actually learn to do jobs, some without confidence, really boosted their confidence up. And, you know, and they need places like this, because not every individual, because this is meant to help people we've, you know, helped them get the confidence for work.
A pensioner from Herne Bay is in a battle with Canterbury City Council over repairs to his Grade 2 listed house, which has started to sink. Timothy Carpenter was told he could be sent to prison if subsidence repairs are undertaken without special permission. However, after 8 months of waiting, cracks are continuing to appear. The local authority says it's not received all the necessary documentation, something that Mr. Carpenter disputes. We're being asked to donate items that could potentially save the life of someone in Kent who's homeless this Christmas. There's a real concern for people who are sleeping rough as temperatures fall below freezing. Emmaus Dover believe around 30 people are currently on the streets in Folkestone. Jerry Golden is from the charity and says they're hoping to fill so-called blessing bags.
Every Tuesday night we go over to Folkestone to do a wellbeing run, which includes food, drink and essential items. But what we're doing leading up to Christmas this year is making an appeal for people to give us items that we're going to fill what we call blessing bags with. So items such as deodorants, toothpaste, wet wipes, but also clothing. So hats, scarves, gloves, sleeping bags, socks, anything that can help anyone who's still going to be on the street at this time of the year to keep warm as much as possible.
And how much of a difference will that make, Jerry? I'm guessing for some that's the difference between, well, it could even be life and death, couldn't it?
One sleeping bag can make a massive difference to someone overnight, you know, from freezing and, as we've said, to the more serious, getting hospitalised, etc. You know, sleeping bag can keep someone warm for that extra time.
Do you know how many people could be in that situation this year when you go out and do your checks? How many people are you coming across?
In Folkestone, it's anything up to 30 people. There's different ones each Tuesday. You know, we consistently get 15 to 16, but we also have other people who come that night, and then the next week it'll be others. So, you know, just on that well-being run, that's the numbers we're seeing, but we know it's more than that. You know, there's more people. When you drive around, you can see it. You can see people in shop hallways, etc., who don't always come to us on a Tuesday evening. So, you know, everyone can make a big difference here, and there's a lot of people who are struggling.
And of course, all different circumstances. I should think when you chat to them, they've all got a different story to tell.
It's absolutely amazing. From a person who was a manager of a superstore who was made redundant and lost his marriage, therefore lost his house, to the person who's been on the street for a number of years and has not been able to make that next step. So Emmaus Dover, by doing what we're doing, you know, it may seem a small cog, but it's part of the process. The collection, if you can be as generous as you possibly can, and come up and see us. We have regular customers, but some people have never seen us or been in the shop, etc. Come up and see us and you'll see the work that's going on to provide what we do.
They're taking donations until December 23rd. Tributes are being paid to the former chief executive of a Kent bereavement charity who's died after being diagnosed with cancer. Caroline Ford ran Holding On, Letting Go for nearly 6 years before stepping down in March to concentrate on her health. She's been described as a natural leader. The charity, which is based in Rochester, provides support to children who have lost loved ones.
Kent Online News.
Plans for 65 new homes in Kings Hill look set to be approved despite more than 1,500 people objecting to the project. It would see building on the land that was once part of West Morling Airfield. Critics, including the Woodland Trust, are concerned the development would mean the loss of open space and threaten species of adders, bats and dormice. The government's approved plans to build more than 160 homes in a beauty spot near Cranbrook. The development in Turndon was previously refused by Conservative ministers despite being given the go-ahead by council bosses. The site covers nearly 60 acres in the High Weald National Landscape. Plans for a micro pub and campsite have been approved near Folkestone. Bosses at Blandred Farm say the plan would diversify their businesses in an attempt to support the town's rural economy. Able to accommodate up to 45 pitches, the public will be able to camp at the site from June until the end of September. It's expected to open next year. Plans to build 112 homes at a former Pfizer site in Sandwich have been given the go-ahead. The pharmaceutical giant left its base at the Discovery Park in 2012. Land will will now be turned into housing, although none of it will be classed as affordable. Follow Kent Online to see how work's progressing on a development of 200 flats in Gravesend. The charter project in the town centre forms part of the council's master plan and also includes a multi-storey car park. It covers the former Market Square and Hoard Yard car parks and should be finished by February 2026. Now, it's feared a festive charity event in Deal could have to be cancelled because of poor water quality. The Environment Agency has issued a do not swim warning for the beach near Deal Castle, which could threaten the annual Boxing Day dip. Sophie Wools is the manager of Seaview Fish and Chip Shop in Deal. She's worried about the impact on local businesses as well.
We want people to come down to the seaside to have a swim, come in and get some fish and chips. And I think it will put people off and they won't come down. It's not what we need. Boxing Day as well. We've got the big Boxing Day dip.
Do you know if it's been cancelled yet?
I haven't heard anything yet, but it will definitely put people off coming down. It's all over social media, and you hear that, you're not going to want to come down and have a swim in that.
Water quality at Dymchurch and Littlestone has also been rated poor.
Kent Online News.
A Medway mum whose baby was born at just 24 weeks has described how a first cuddle with his dad helped them to bond as a family. Akaridi weighed only 770 grams when he arrived early in February. New techniques being used by staff at Medway Maritime Hospital meant he could have skin-to-skin contact with a parent before going to the neonatal unit. Zainab Yunus has been speaking to Nicola and says it was a very scary time.
I didn't know the premature world existed until I had Akaridi. I've always thought people would carry a full-term baby and just, you know, have a delivery. And, you know, when I had Akaridi at 770 grams, I didn't know a baby could even survive that tiny weight. And it was so scary because I looked at him and I thought, how possible? How is it possible for something so tiny to be here with us, you know, trying to survive? And it is so scary. I don't know how this little champion has done it.
But whilst you were in the hospital, as soon as you gave birth, you were able to give him your husband was able to give him a cuddle, wasn't he? How much did that mean to you guys at that time?
It was so relieving. It was like what I needed, because I wasn't sure if Akaridi was going to make it or not. And there was nothing to give me that reassurance, but that cuddle and my husband holding Akaridi, my partner holding him, was something that I felt like it was reassuring for the both of us. And he was like, he's so gorgeous. Don't worry, he's going to be here with us. He's here to stay. And those words echo in my ears every time when I go into the NICU, because that was all we had. It took me 17 days to cuddle Akaridi, to have our first cuddle. And I just kept looking back to when my husband held him and I looked at the both of them on the bed like this, and I was just like, God, what is happening in my world? Like, that was the only thing I was thinking in my head. Like, what is going on? What is this? But he said that it was the best thing for him because he was able to come back and tell me on the ward how it felt to hold him, even though it was so tiny. But he said it was the most precious thing to him, and he didn't want to let go as well. That was what he said. He said he did not want to let go.
Do you think it's helped you as a family bond because you had that contact, and particularly with your husband so early on?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it helped us to sort of build that quick bond with our child, because it's very common for NICU moms to not have that special bond at first, especially if you've not had any cuddle, you've not had the time to do anything for your child. And I think I was leaning on his bond as well, because he's had that first cuddle. He transferred that love to me by telling me how he felt, telling me what my child looked like facially, telling me how tiny he was and how he could not wait to hold him again. So we had something to look forward to, and it was just very comforting for us.
And here's Dr. Helen Gabingi.
So being able to introduce that practice, you know, it just adds a huge benefit for them, because they are at high risk of a lot of other complications. So being able to do that for the family and the baby is amazing.
Is it all premature babies who are able to do this, or do some still have to be taken away because they're too poorly, or do you try it as often as you can?
So as much as we try to offer this to every single preterm baby, it's not always possible. So it has to be a baby who is well, who is stable, and the parents or the you know, the birthing parents, they're in a position to do it. And like in Zainab's case, she was unable to cuddle Akurede, but the father being there or whoever the birthing partner is. So we offer that opportunity as well, that if the mother would want the birthing partner or the father to then do the cuddle, which was what happened, you know, in Akurede's case. And you do know, the times, obviously, because families having not seen a baby as tiny as that, they're really scared. So it takes a lot of comforting, a lot of reassurance, and also to help them to understand that even though the baby is here with you and having a cuddle, they're not missing out on the intensive care they need. They're having the respiratory support that they need, you know, and it's safe to do so.
Obviously, this has huge benefits for mum and dad. They get to spend time with their baby and they don't feel distanced from the baby. What benefits do you know that it has for the baby as well?
So it's known, you know, kangaroo care itself, that babies, when they're having kangaroo care on their moms or dad, they're more stable. Their breathing is better. Their heart rate is better. You know, they're very comfortable. They feel safe. You know, and all that is important for their development. So because it's not just about the medical care, there are other non-medical care, developmental care, emotional care. So that closeness provides that child with that safety and assurance, and they do better. You know, it's there in evidence. They grow better. You know, they get discharged home better, quicker than, you know, the babies. They're able to achieve full feet quicker and better. So it's, the evidence is out there that having that kangaroo care or that cuddle is beneficial to everybody, to the baby, to the mom, to the dad, you know, to the family as a whole.
A carol service inspired by the Prince of Wales is being held at Rochester Cathedral later. It's one of 15 regional events based on the Christmas Eve service at Westminster Abbey, which is organised by Kate. Tonight's service in Rochester will honour community volunteers and charitable causes. Kent's JB Gill is through to the semi-finals of Strictly. He topped the leaderboard on Musicals Week after dancing a waltz to Let's Go Fly a Kite from Mary Poppins. The JLS star, who runs a farm in the county, scored a near-perfect 39 points. Gladiator and former Olympian Montel Douglas was the latest celebrity to be eliminated.
Kent Online Sports.
A Maidstone man is making final preparations before taking on what's been described as the world's toughest row. Andy Purvis is heading to an island off Tenerife before starting the 3,000-mile journey across the Atlantic Ocean. It'll take between 45 and 60 days, and he says they're well prepared.
Training's gone absolutely fantastic. My rowing partner, Tim, has been training rowers for the last 12 years. So in terms of technical support, navigation and all those good things, safety at sea and everything else, Tim is absolutely amazing. We've both put in the physical hard work. We're both down the gym regularly. We're both working hard physically. We've been out in the sea many, many times before. It's gone very, very well. Very, very pleased with it.
And why did you decide to raise money for Abigail's Footsteps?
Abigail's was, I've literally only known about Abigail's for the last couple of years. Young lady that I run with, Alyssa, went through the process of sadly losing a baby 12 years ago. And listening to her story and obviously the wider sort of family is absolutely heart-wrenching and a massive charity to support. I think they do an amazing thing. From the counselling to the cold cots and everything else. It's absolutely amazing. It just really does get to you. It's amazing.
The challenge that you're doing, it has been described as the world's toughest rowing race. Can you tell us a bit about the conditions you're going to be essentially living in for the duration of the event?
Certainly. I mean, the boat is literally 7 metres long. We're self propelled, obviously, with rowing. We've got some solar panels that give us a little bit of power to operate our water maker. We make our own water from the seawater. We carry all our own food. We're totally unassisted. We've got two little cabins, one at each end, literally 5.5 to 6 feet long, just enough room to squeeze into, which are watertight. And we will row literally 2 hours on, 2 hours off every day for the challenge. Obviously, during our downtime, we'll be cooking. We've got a little single jet boil stove, which enables us to reheat or rehydrate some very dodgy food. No fresh food or anything like that. It's just really rehydrated. And, we'll get some sleep. We'll keep ourselves clean and tidy, which is important. and hopefully propel ourselves across the Atlantic. Weather-wise, it can be anything from 20-foot waves. It's pitch black, obviously, in the middle of the Atlantic. We'll see probably very little other traffic at all. But obviously one of the highlights will be wildlife, whales, dolphins, turtles, that sort of thing, which we're looking forward to. And I think as part of the challenge, it's a lot of it, it's not just the physicality, it's the mentality of the dark nights, pitch black, the isolation, and obviously getting on with my teammate.
That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, that's all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.